today we want to continue with thoughts on see yourself whole, or embracing the value of your person, your presence, and your purpose. Seeing yourself from the inside out like God sees you. Seeing that you are enough because God created you enough, and you're being discovered along the way. Realizing that there's divinity in you. You were created in the image and in the likeness of God, not in the image and likeness of evil or sin. Also, that you are a wonder. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a wonder. Say, you're wonderful. For the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Ask any doctor that operates on you and he'll tell you, I'm relying on the fearful, wonderful part of you to work if I cut your body open and do incisions in you. It's based on what God has already put in motion. You are a wonder and you have been wonderfully made in the image of God. And not only that, you have greatness within you, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have eternity within you, and God sees you just like you are. Wealthier, healthier, open, liberator, and energetic. Say, that's for me. You were created to be and already a whole person waiting to be revealed. Everybody say, it's a process. Tell somebody this. Everything you need is already inside of you. Yes, sir, everything you need is already inside of you, and here's the deal. You can be whole and not yet healthy, wealthy, open, liberated, or energetic. But the bottom line is this. Say it loud. I am a work in progress, and it's okay. Cadence is right. That's why you can't judge. Because when you look at someone from the outside, they're a work in process, in progress. Jesus says, judge no man according to the flesh anymore. Because if you're working in real time is lying to you. Even the Bible tells you to walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because visually your brain is lying to you. It anticipates. You literally are, you know, projecting what you think is going to happen. Many times you're not seeing what's actually happening. And that's just an instinctive thing we had from old days of reptilian behavior where it was fight or flight and we had to protect ourselves out in the wild. But you're not in the wild anymore. You're in Jesus. And you can believe. And you're a work in progress. Tell somebody, hold on. I'm on my way. All the superheroes in the room, stand on your feet. Let's bless the Lord. We're going to see ourselves wealthier this morning. We're going to talk about money. We want to know what God thinks about money, because you know God has some ideas about money. The Bible says, remember that the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability. Everyone say the power. It is he that gives you the power to get wealth. Why does he give it? To establish his covenant. What is God's covenant? To save you and to save the world around you. Let the church say amen. Say it loud. Say it. Money, wealth. One of six Bible scriptures deals with money, wealth, and it's the least of wealth. There are greater things in you that you do that are beyond money, but the reality is that money, wealth is the easiest for people to manipulate and control. Money, wealth is the only subdued through investment in God and humanity. So philanthropy, altruism, charity, all these things, the tithe, that was the first historical purpose of money, wealth. The Apostle Paul said that God loves what? Say, I am a cheerful giver. Let us declare the miracle of abundant life. Are you ready? Lord, I now relinquish all grievances, resentments, and regrets, and I choose the miracle. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Give God praise as you're sitting down. Wow. Everything about the Lord's Prayer is about God giving you something. It's about God blessing you, giving you daily bread, giving you a way out of bad situations, giving you a plan from heaven to be implemented on earth so you can be greater than you've ever been. Amen. Number one thing God wants you to know about money is this. It all belongs to him. Right on. It all belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world is God's and all that live in it. That includes you. The silver is mine, the Lord says. The gold is mine, declares Almighty God. The reality of this is that you are valuing God's influence in your life and God's influence in the planet. If you want to understand, you need to know the history of God. And that's what we come in here to do. We come in here to go over the history of God so you understand what God's impact was in this world and that you did not get here accidentally. There was a deliberate intention. No reason why you're here, and you are here on purpose, and others sacrifice for you to be here. And if you're grateful for that this morning, give God a praise offering right where you sit. I value God's influence in the earth. God's people were the first ones that said, give back to the earth. It was God's people that decided to liberate slaves and set up society and set up human conditions that were better. It was God's people that talked about actually healing people and how to do it. It was God's people that got intel from the Heavenly Father back in ancient Iron Age and knew how to live in harmony and in healing every day of their life. Thank God for God's people throughout history that did not shy away from him. They obeyed God and they did God's will, and we're going to do the same thing. Amen? Because there's a purpose, there's a reason. Understand this. I'm not giving to God, I'm giving back to God because everything is his. Say it with me. Everything is his. Number two, we talked about last week, a tithe is 10%. Say it with me. A tithe is 10%. Abraham did something beautiful in our father faith when he won a battle and had this tremendous wealth that he got from the battle. He took a tenth of it and gave it to the priest, and he taught us how to put God first. And that's what my mother taught me when I was a little boy with a paper out. Johnny, always put God first because God will never fail. Amen. Tithing proves that you're a friend of God, for the Bible says Abraham was a friend of God. And if you're into saving the planet and saving the people, you are a friend of God, because God came that no man should perish, but that everybody live forever. Tithing is a way to test God. Say, God said, go for it. Give me your money and prove me, and I'll give back to you. I promise. There's power in giving. Also, it rebukes the devourer, because there is a devourer in the world that wants to steal your things, take away your things. Some of us are rebukers of devourers. Anybody ever help somebody else out? Anybody give something to somebody else to lighten the load? Say, I am rebuking the devourer. I'm just like my daddy. He rebukes the devourer, God does, and then we do it for others. Anytime we take money overseas, or like we did, we went through our financial report this morning and we talked about how much money again went out for missions outside of the church. And we were over 11, 12% again. And the national average is 2%. And some of that money went to Rwanda to build a playground for the kids in the orphanage in Rwanda. And today they have a playground because you rebuked the devourer. They had not enough money to build a playground, but you sent money there. And the devourer lost because you rebuked the devourer in Jesus' name. And we're going to do more of that this morning. Amen. We're going to do more of it this morning. But that's how he does it. Tithing can be genetic. My kids are blessed because I was obedient to God. So I bless my kids. Bless your kids. Bless kids and generations to come because you are obedient to God in your money. And the one we want to pay attention to this morning is number three. And number three is this. Say it with me. No one has ever become poor by giving. Say it again. Third time for the Holy Spirit. Now read the inscription of the person who wrote that at the bottom. Anne Frank. How many of you know who Anne Frank is? Young lady between the age of 13 and 16 during Nazi occupation. Lived in hiding, but in hiding, she just happened to, on her 12th birthday, receive a diary from her family. And then she began to record in hiding some of her experiences. And these very insightful quotes come from this girl who was terrorized as well. You think of our children being terrorized this morning. Well, there are other children in the world have been terrorized too. And Anne Frank was terrorized in hiding for 2 years of her life. Eventually, they would find them, and eventually she would die in execution at Auschwitz. But before that, she would record in her diary different things. She actually said in her diary that people in the world are generally good. At heart, they're generally good. How many know that to be true? I think people are basically good at heart. They just need to be taught. They just need to be told. They just need to be loved. Someone needs to break the cycle of abuse. Someone needs to break the cycle of hatred. Someone needs to be an agent of change in their family, in their home, in their community, and stand up and say, I know I was treated this way and I could be an abuser because I was abused, but guess what? No way. I'm not going to abuse. I'm going to love. This happened in my past, but you know what? I'm not going to be a hater anymore just because my ancestor was. I'm going to take a stand right here, right now, and I'm going to be a lover of all humanity, and I'm going to let it happen right here, right now, just like Jesus. And you stretch out your hands like Jesus on the cross. Amen. And you say, here am I, Lord, send me. This is the crossroad of change. I am. Send me, Lord. Amen. And this young lady, insightful, she wrote this quote saying, no one has ever become poor by giving. And guess what? It's one of the most profound statements that has been proven over and over again. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, I want you to think about a flour bag. I mean, a big flour bag. All farmer families in the room, raise your hands up. All of us basically all came from farmer families, but some of us more generations removed. But a farmer family, we know when you take flour and you pour it in the bag, you want to get the good measure, right? So you got to shake the bag. And you shake the bag and make sure you take away all the pockets for molecules, and you shake it up, and you shake it up and pour some more in, and you shake it up and you pour some more in. Shake, shake, shake. Shake, shake, shake. No, I'm not going to do it, right? You were about to sing it. You were singing, right? Shake, shake, right. Right. I'm so sorry. I vow in my life, especially in recent times, I'm going to be childlike. And in my private life, I'm just that silly. How many have private jokes that keep you laughing all day long? Everybody got them? How many got a soundtrack to your life? You got a soundtrack? Right. There's music that plays in your mind when you're walking about. Right. No, that's not my music. No. But this is, well, how we think. And it helps me remember things. It makes me laugh at things. So shake your booty. Anyway, amen. He said it. We can't believe how, oh, so inappropriate for the pastor to say booty on the platform. Oh, Lord, where is this world going to? Shaken and running over shall God cause people to give back to you. And what Jesus is actually making you aware of is a universal law of attraction. There are different laws of energy that operate in the earth, and the Lord said that he would give you authority when you were created to harness those forces and make them work for you. You got your cell phones in the room, lift them up. Get your cell phones out. Smartphones, get them out. Amen. Lift up your universal law of energy that someone decided to harness. It was just theoretical before. Now you can turn your light. Everybody turn your lights on. Right on. Turn on your night light. Let it shine wherever you go. Look at that energy. You got energy. Not only that, you've got more information. Each one of you have more information than President Herbert Bush had in 1991 in your hand. With all of his intelligence reports and smart people all over the world giving him information, you have more information at your access than he had. Somebody said, God is good. But that's because someone harnessed the universal laws, for God said that you were created to have dominion, to subdue the earth and make it work for you. It also applies to your money as well. The universal law of giving. Einstein said this about the energy that you can release in this world. He said, everything is energy. That is all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you can help. You can't help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy. This is just a fact. This is science. There's energy all around you for you to harness. The Bible says that God is light. Say, God is energy. What do you think? We're just discovering what God meant by that. Light is energy. And Jesus is light. And there's power in Him, and you're discovering it day by day by day in every part of your life. Some call it karma. What you put out there, you get back. So if you don't put out something you don't want to have back, amen. In other words, I don't take to or sell at garage sales or take to Goodwill things that I don't necessarily want back. Everything I take, I could keep. But I'm letting it go because I just don't need it right now. How many are still here? But nasty, raggedy stuff, I throw that away. I'm gonna tell you, why do I want somebody to buy my old workout shirt? Oh, yeah, buy this, right. It still says Adidas, all wrinkled up and messy and stuff. Yeah, give that to somebody, right. You wouldn't wear it. Why would you want someone else to? Do unto others as you would like. What? I need you to raise your game up. Start throwing some things away that need to be thrown away. Stop hoarding. Stop keeping and start giving in Jesus' name. You'll clear out your bedroom. You'll clear out your house. You'll clear out your car. You'll start clearing out stuff and you'll be more relaxed and you'll feel a lot better about life. With less, that's meaningful. Lord, say, Lord, I need less that's meaningful. I need meaningful stuff. Meaningful stuff. I don't have to have a lot of it, just enough. Get her done. Look at somebody say, get her done.
Right on. I love that statement.
God is light. God is energy. And anytime you obey God, you set off those energies of forgiveness. He says, forgive 70 times 7. And you set off energy inside you as well as others. And they begin to feel forgiven. It begins to change your perspective about things. It begins to alter you when you exercise the universal laws of God that says you reap what you sow. So he said, do not be deceived. What Paul said about the laws of the universe. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. He put these systems in order. He set it up this way. It's going to work this way. And for so whatsoever a man shall sow, he what? Shall also reap. So you need to get up every day and think about what you want to harvest. You want to harvest hatred, then keep talking hate. You want to harvest darkness, just keep talking darkness. Just stay on Facebook talking junk and speculation. And guess what? That's all you're going to get back is junk and speculation. But get on there and be light. Get on there and be love. Get on there and find God. For Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they see God. Amen. There's not a problem out there I can't see God in. Yeah, it's a tragedy, but I'll tell you what, Jesus hasn't lost a bit of ground since he resurrected from the grave. There are more believers on the earth than there was 2,000 years ago, and there are going to be more believers in Jesus Christ loving the world and loving one another at the end of this service than there was when you first walked into this room, because my Savior Jesus Christ is Alpha, Omega, beginning, the end, first and last, was and is to come. He is everything, and he will not fail. Will not. Everything you see around you that bothers you, that's just an avarition. That's something that's just passing away. Darkness is a shadow. That means it doesn't have substance. It doesn't have body. It doesn't have staying power unless you give it power. But as soon as you take the power away, I love the news reporters that says, we're not going to even mention his name. I say, right on. Let's take the power away, take him on to prison and get him some help there. Amen. We're not going to elaborate how dumb evil is. You know, we try to figure out how people do what they do. Now, sin is not a mystery, baby. That's the lie of, the Bible calls it the mystery of iniquity. That's the lie about it. It's really not that mysterious. It's very predictable. It's not hard to find things wrong. But it takes the eyes of God to see where it's going and what it can be. How many know that to be true? Somebody say, I want the eyes of Jesus. How do you think Jesus healed all those people? How do you think Jesus helped all those people like Cadence talked about when they came and challenged him about the law, about someone who was caught doing the wrong thing? Now, just for the record, she was doing the wrong thing. But Jesus had the eyes of God, and he could see beyond the moment into what God had purposed for that person. And he said, that person is not the sum total of what they are today. They are not what they've done. They are created in the image and likeness of God. So today, if you want to stone her, get stones out for everybody, because all of you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus had the eyes of God to see the person greater than the moment. And we need more people like Jesus to see people greater than the moment. To see that if only one person believed that there was a God, that Jesus would have died anyway. If that would have been a sum total, only one person, a billion people believe, he would have died anyway. Because he loves you that much. Crazy love. Real love is crazy. Don't make sense. Forgiving and all that stuff. How do you do that? How do you get in front of a microphone and say, you know what, I'm hurting, but I forgive him? We hear people say that. We get to watch it in living color. People go through just tragedy. And wake up and say, but I forgive them. Where do you think they learned that? Jesus on his way to the cross, suffering. Even though he could release the laws of darkness and hell. Instead, he walked all the way to the cross and he said, Father, you forgive them. They know not what they do. Even in his most anxious and painful time, he had the presence of mind to always release the laws of attraction. Because, you know, a world that would crucify him is not the world that he saw on the horizon. The world that saw on the horizon was a world that would see somebody like him and say, you know what, I need to give you a job. I need you in charge of my corporation. I need you in charge of my organization. And do you know we have Christ-like people in charge of things all over the world today making a difference? Let the church say, how many got that? Somebody say, I feel good. Do you feel good? Why not? That's part of who you are, is feeling good. You have time to feel sad later, but feel good now. Right on. So we're going to put out feeling good because we're going a week and we're going to help others feel good. We're going to sow goodness. We're going to sow love. We're going to sow being mindful and thoughtful, and we're going to get it back in return. Let the church say, life is an echo. What you send out comes back. What you sow, you reap, and what you give, you get. What you see in others also exists in you. Amen. So guess what? Since what I see in others exists in me, God forbid that I'm going to be judging anybody looking for bad stuff. For the Bible says, you old man who judges the mother, the reason why you obsess about what they do is because you do the same thing. So the quickest way for you to give up your secrets about your private life is to judge other people. Oh, how many got that? Case in point, Jim Baker, Jimmy Swagger. And they don't mind me telling the story. They've both been forgiven. Jim Baker had an affair as a pastor back in the 80s. Kids don't have any idea what this is about. Jimmy Swagger got on television. Oh, what a terrible guy. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And then when he was exposed, he did 100 times worse than Jim Baker did. And it proved the scripture, you old man who judges another, you only know it because you do the same thing and 100 times worse. Amen. So you want to stop telling on yourself? You want to stop telling on yourself? Stop telling on other people. You think you're discerning? It don't take the discernment of spirit for you to see evil. It just takes a silly human being. We walk around looking at evil all the time. Oh, that's dumb. It's evil. They call it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Didn't you get that? That's making judgments about what's good and what's evil. How about let's live? Let's live from the tree of life. Let's look for life. Let's look for love. Let's look for hope. Let the church say amen. So go out there and look for it. Sow it out there. Send it out there. Make it happen. Give to God treasure, talent, time, just like those that are going to do One Voice. They're getting ready and fired up to do it, to reach others for the kingdom of God. But the reality is this. When you give to God, it activates and releases the promises of God in the earth. But you got to start somewhere, anywhere. Monty did one video, says, you know, Pastor, I can't do 10%, but I can do 1%. Hey, it doesn't matter. You have my permission. Do 1%. And when God blesses you, extend. Go further. Incrementally. Because as Anne Frank said, it's true. No one has ever become poor by giving.